We're talking with Don Close with Rabobank. Don, let's talk a little bit about the latest things that you've discovered in your quarterly beef report out just now. Several interesting things, I thought. In particular, the information on Australia, pretty fascinating. They seem to be cranking out quite a bit of beef.
It has been absolutely phenomenal, the rate of liquidation that they have endured in Australia. And the decline in cattle numbers and what it's starting to mean on prices as supplies tighten, but also we've had, and they had some really good unexpected rains here in the last couple of weeks that was very, besides against the El Nino pattern, was very counter-seasonal that's going to buy them some time. But, boy, once that market ever starts to rebuild, from my observations being down there, I think the price explosion that could happen with the Australian market will be even greater than what we saw in our 2014 market here in the States.
So I guess that's one of those inevitable things that that is out there eventually.
It's going to happen. That's one that it's not a could it happen or, you know, might it happen. Just the rate of liquidation that they have had in Australia in the last 2.5 years is going to be a huge, huge drain. It's going to take years to rebuild the numbers once it does rain.
Now, one of your observations, the fact that a lot of the beef that is headed out of Australia, a good bit of it has landed in the United States.
If there's good timing for a disaster, the Australian drought could possibly be described that way. Both, as you say, the huge volume of beef trimmings, that lean beef trimmings that they've shipped to the States in the last couple of years, that has provided them with a market that would have been in a lot of trouble otherwise. And at the very same time, it's helped offset the U.S. as our cow slaughter has declined, as numbers tightened, and we're starting to rebuild. That's been an offset for the U.S. to continue to get that available supply of lean product.
I guess that's almost like a win-win for the two countries.
Well, you know what? I think it has been a win-win. Now, where that thing is going to get a lot more complicated, Australia has a trade agreement with China in regards to beef. They're also still in the finalizing stages of an agreement on live cattle trade. And if you take that growing demand in China and how the U.S.-Australian trade relationship has been so strong over the years, that could, you know, it's going to have a new player in the mix that's going to change the dynamics of those trade flows going forward.
You mentioned China. I know that the United States continues to hope that we can eventually see a reopening of that market for our U.S. beef supplies, but they are busy doing deals. One with Brazil?
They have, say, the beef trade with Australia. They have the negotiations on the live animal trade, and they have a trade agreement with Brazil. And boy, you said it all. If we're the U.S. is ever going to really be a player in that Chinese trade, we're going to have to come to resolves with the trade disparity that the U.S. has with China on or in regards to beef. Now, you know, while it's far from official, and I think it was part of the salesmanship in trying to get the Trans-Pacific Partnership through Congress, but the president did openly talk about China at least sending out feelers on the possibility of being a part of that Trans-Pacific Partnership. Given the size of that trade agreement and the geographic area it covers, I wouldn't in any way over time be surprised to see China become more of that TPP fold.
Overall, as you look at the global beef market right now, are we seeing, most producers around the world in trouble, profitable? Where are we on the profitability side of the game?
It's been, you know, the U.S. numbers, the North America, let's say beyond U.S., let's just say North American numbers. We know where we've been there with the last 2 years of contracting supplies. The big run up in prices in 2014, and very stable prices year to date. Now, given the margin, the price of replacement cattle and the cattle feeders, they've had some pretty tough sledding, just because replacement cattle are so high. But you know, North America cattle supplies remain tight. We are seeing very solid evidence of female recovery that's going to take some time. The Australian situation we've talked about already, but they've had a little bit of rain, to just enough to make them feel better about it, but certainly not enough to be categorized as a drought breaker. And once that market does fully bottom out, and either they're going to run out of cattle and or it's going to rain, and in either scenario it's going to be a huge price dynamic when it happens. That leaves South America. And, you know, so oftentimes when we talk about world beef trade, we talk North America, Australia, New Zealand, and, okay, if it's not coming from there, we'll just go to Brazil. You know, Brazil's the largest beef exporter in the world, and to really think that they're going to be able to add additional exports to China, we're sitting here looking, could be days away from seeing an announcement of opening Brazilian beef to the U.S., and to add customers of the size of the U.S. and China at the same time, I just don't know that they can grow that South American market that fast. And, you know, but that's the real growth area at this moment.
One last question: as far as on the global scene, you know, we talk a great deal about how, you know, quickly things can change if you pop up with a disease such as, you know, the mad cow scare that we had.
Yep.
This type of thing. Are there any health issues lurking out there that could really have changed trade or could change trade on a dime?
Oh, there always is. We still haven't fully recuperated. I mean, the pig loss from the PED virus last year in the States is down dramatically from a year ago, but it's still a very big problem in Mexico. The avian flu situation that we have going on currently, the impact on turkeys and laying hens, we've all seen the news stories covering the run-up in egg prices over the last 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, we have some very real animal health issues affecting global trade and domestic trade currently. Right now, on the beef front, you had a BSE irregular case of BSE case in Ireland that looks like that won't be a huge trade disruption there, but still in the news. And every day we're dealing with animal health issues.
Economist Don Close joining us today, talking about the second quarter beef report from Rabobank. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.